Everybody's looking for Jeff. Where's Jeff? Where, we got to start. Where is Jeff? Jeff is away today. He is away today, but we are glad that you're here with us in worship. I certainly hope that you have taken the time to speak to the people around you. And if you haven't, I know that you will at the conclusion of the service, correct? Correct. Okay, very good. Good answer. Good answer. There is a pew pad at the end of each pew. I would ask that someone closest to that pad, if you would pick it up, sign your name, and kind of pass it down. And we ask that our members, as well as our guests, sign there and give us whatever information you're willing to give. We're glad that you're here. We certainly don't want to stalk you or anything, but we would like to have some follow-up information if you would provide that for us. Again, members, look around you, notice where our guests are, and be sure and welcome them. We do not have the candles behind me, but I do want to give you an update on our mission, foreign mission offering. As of this morning, we have a total of $15,842 headed toward a goal of $25,000. So I invite you to continue to pray about what you can give to be a part of the foreign missions effort that we do through CBF as well as the Southern Baptist Convention. And thank you very much for considering that and having a good friend who has been overseas for 20 plus years now with the Foreign Mission Board. He, in his Christmas letter, said, "Be sure and thank your congregation for their faithfulness." So I am doing that. I'm thanking you for your faithfulness to these missions offerings, because it's not just an abstract concept. It's people. It's people who are out there ministering on our behalf and on God's behalf to other people. So thank you for your faithfulness in that. I don't think we have a whole lot of announcements other than if you'll look at the back on the opportunities for the week. That should be pretty accurate in terms of the life of the church this week. So invite you to take a look at that for a few minutes or this afternoon. And I know that we do have some guests with us. Our ushers are here, and they're going to be working their way toward the back. And as they do that, if you're a guest with us, and have not received one of these packets before, if you're a first-time guest with us, if you'll just kind of slip your hand up, just, again, we don't want to embarrass you. We're just glad that you're here with us. If you'll just kind of catch their eye, and they've got some information they'd like to give you about the ministries of College Park. You have chosen well today to be with us, and we're delighted that you're here. It is a dynamic, growing body of Christ, and we're glad that you've chosen to be a part of worship with us this morning. We have a lot that's going on in our lives with some of us are still in holiday mode, and that's good. That'll work out nice for the next couple of days. So I hope that you have a new year, a prosperous new year in a spiritual sense. But this morning we come together as God's people to worship as one body, and we're glad that you're here. And we join our hearts together now in preparing for a time of worship.
Christ is born. Lord, we praise you for these words. Lord, not just because they are words, Lord, because we know it. We feel it in our hearts. And Lord, we ask this morning as we enter into this time of worship, Lord, that those words would swell within us, that it would become a cry that we cannot contain. Lord, that your Spirit would be upon this place and this hour and us in such a way, Lord, that when we leave this place, we cannot hold it in, but to proclaim, Lord, that you are here. So we praise you this morning, for you are Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, as we enter worship, let it be the cry of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. If you will read responsively with me the call to worship in your order of worship, I'll read the light print if you will read the bold with me. All God's people, boys and girls, women, men, come and worship. Shepherds, magi, saints, and angels, come and worship. All who need the Savior, all who long for comfort, come and worship. Come and worship Christ, the newborn King.
I want to invite the children, if they would, come on down. Well, hey there. Got in just in time. Just in time. Come on and sit on the stairs here. I've got some things that I want to see if you can figure this out. I'm getting ready to show you what's in the box.
Candy canes?
Nope, no candy canes. No candy canes. I like your tie, though.
Jingle bells.
Well, it's kind of like jingle bells, only different. It's just like it, only different. Okay? All right, we'll see. All right, don't touch. This is to see, but not to touch. All right, sit back where you are. I'll show it to you. All right, I've got four things. Shh. I've got four things. All right. Now, yeah, this is three right here. And this is the fourth. It's pretty heavy. Pretty heavy. Okay, now I've got a weight. It's a 10-pound weight. I've got a tambourine. It's really cool. It lights up. You like that? Yeah, it lights up, does all kinds of, yeah, that's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Woo, all right, so I've got that. I've got a wooden cross. See the wooden cross?
Yeah.
And then I have a Bible.
Yeah.
Now, what I need to know is which of these four things does not fit with the Bible verse I'm getting ready to tell you? Well, how do you know I haven't told you the Bible verse?
I'm just taking a guess.
Taking a guess. You say that. Why do you say the tambourine doesn't fit? Oh, the other stuff doesn't light up. Okay. All right, I tell you, we'll turn it off.
Why is it not turning off?
I don't know. It's broken. No, I don't need you to fix it. There need a lot of things I need, but you to fix it is not one of them. Here we go. How about that? Okay. All right. Now it's not lit up. All right. But you know what? You were right.
Yeah.
You were right. And here's the Bible passage. The weight belongs, and I'll tell you why. The Bible passage is this. It's a verse in Luke, and it's Luke 2:52. And it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." With God and man. Okay? People ask me a lot. They say, why doesn't it tell me in the Bible what Jesus did when he was a child? There's no stories about him kind of growing up as a child or as a teenager. And I tell them, yeah, it does tell us. It tells us in Luke 2:52 that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and man. So he got smarter when he read the Bible. He got stronger when he exercised like all children do. And he increased in his favor with God and man, his spirit, by
hanging on a cross.
Well, by learning about his Father and sharing that with other people. So he got closer to other people and he got closer to his Father. And see, that's the same thing with us. The Bible says we are created in God's image, and what that means is we were created mind, body, and soul, just like Jesus. Mind, body, and soul. So our lesson from that is you keep reading God's word, okay? Read the Bible. Have mom and dad read the Bible with you, all right? Keep growing and getting stronger physically. And then keep growing in your spirit by getting to know other people and getting to know God better. Is that a good plan?
Yeah.
That's a real good plan, isn't it?
That's probably a plan for life.
That's a good plan for life. Let's pray and ask for God's help, okay? Let's pray together. Dear Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these precious children. And pray that you would be with them as they continue to grow in mind, body, and spirit. God, we thank you for the parents. We thank you for this church. As we, as a group, as a body, help them grow closer to you and to each other. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. See y'all later. Thank you.
Hey.
No, well, I'm going to put this right back in the box, okay? There you go. And now I am Krista. I was Jeff, now I am Krista, okay? In our scripture reading today, I'm going to change it up a little bit. The passage that's listed is one we were going to read, and then as I began looking at the lectionary passages for today, there is a passage in Psalms that was listed among the lectionary that I would really like to read to you. So I'm going to do that. So we'll change it up. We read John 1 on Christmas Eve, and so we're going to change up and go with Psalm 148. So if you have your Bible, you'd like to turn with us, Psalm kind of in the middle of the Bible there, you can turn with me to Psalm 148. It's a psalm of praise, and I think it's very appropriate for this morning. Psalm 148, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters below the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever, and he gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his saints of Israel. The people close to his heart praise the Lord. Let's join our hearts in prayer together. Gracious Father, we do come as your children. Come as your children who are seeking to grow in our knowledge of you and our fellowship with one another. And God, we pray that as we praise you, that you would teach us, that you would correct us through your word, through what you lay on our hearts as we worship you and as we open ourselves to you. God, we thank you for these precious children, because they are a constant reminder to us that all of us should have that kind of open, inquisitive spirit to know more about you and what you desire for us. God, we pray we would never get stagnant. We would never get to the point where we feel like we know everything that we need to know about our lives and who you are and who we are in relationship to you. Help us to constantly strive to know you more, to serve you more completely. And God, as we serve you, we know that in our midst, there are people that are hurting, loved ones that have been lost. Father, so many aches and pains that come from just living life here on this earth. But we know that you have promised that even in those circumstances, that you're with us, that you walk with us, that your presence empowers us and gives us strength for the day. We thank you for that, and we pray that as we minister to each other, that you would continue to guide us, encourage us, give us your strength and wisdom, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the Christ child, all the wonderful worship that we had during the Christmas season. I also have a personal thanks for a safe delivery of a new grandbaby. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for our pastoral staff and all of our staff at College Park. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for being able to worship in a metal building 65 years ago, called College Park. Now we have this wonderful new building coming to place. We have so much. Let us remember to read our Bibles and to pray daily and walk into the new year with this in our mind. Our Heavenly Father, let's lift our gifts, tithes, offerings, and our time up to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
In a stable, on a bed of hay, in a manger, there a baby lay. On a glorious and a wonderful day, there's a baby born in Bethlehem.
And he lay there in his humble bed with the starlight shining down on his head. He has come here, as the prophets have said, there's a baby born in Bethlehem.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, there's a baby born in Bethlehem. And the shepherds, well, they all came to see
the new baby born in Galilee,
who has come here, sent for you and for me. There's a baby born in Bethlehem. Wise men,
hallelujah.
Well, they traveled afar when they saw that
hallelujah.
Bright and beautiful star in the heavens,
hallelujah.
Where the angels are,
there's a baby born in Bethlehem.
Hallelujah, 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 there's a baby born in Bethlehem. Hallelujah.
On a bed of hay in a manger,
hallelujah.
There a baby lay on a glorious,
hallelujah.
And a wonderful day,
there's a baby born in Bethlehem. Hallelujah, 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 there's a baby born in Bethlehem. They came down in a band to the stable from their heavenly land, and they saw him. Yes, and wasn't he grand? There's a baby born in Bethlehem. Yes, a baby is born.
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 Yes, a baby is born. Way down in Bethlehem.
Amen.
Amen. Well, good job, good job, good job, good job. Didn't they do well?
Amen.
Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 41. For those that were here last week, you'll be proud that I'm actually preaching the passage that's listed in the bulletin. Didn't change my mind this week. We're in Luke chapter 2, verse 41, and we'll read to that verse that I read to or quoted to the children just a few minutes ago. Beginning in verse 41, every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they could not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been searching anxiously for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Again, Mary is pondering. She's treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Before we go a whole lot further, I want to show you a book because I got a lot of questions a couple weeks ago when we were talking about different references material, and I want to show you one that I think you would really enjoy. Again, it's from a professor of mine I had at Wake Forest, Charles Talbert, and it's part of a series. The series of the commentaries are called Reading, and then it'll have the book of the Bible. So in this particular case, Reading Luke, which along with David Sharp and his comments, Dr. Talbert's remarks in Reading Luke kind of fashioned today's sermon and helped me organize my thoughts. But there's a whole series of these reading commentaries. And the advantage of this particular line of commentary is it's less academic. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a good way. It's more conversational. It's a lot less technical, and it's a lot more application. So if you're looking for an alternative to a regular commentary that you might see in an academic setting, I highly recommend the Reading series. So I want to put that in there. Now, let's talk about the passage of Scripture that we've just read. But let me give you a little bit of background. You remember last spring, I think it was, we did a series on Wednesday nights talking about the Jewish festivals, the great Jewish celebrations. And in that study, we learned that the festival of Passover was really one of the big three, the ones that they held the highest. It was Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. And in those particular festivals, the Jewish people commemorated certain events that had happened in their history. Now, Passover, you'll remember, was the celebration of the night that the angel of death, passed over the homes of the Israelites who had put the blood of the lamb over the doorpost. Remember that as they were trying to escape Egyptian captivity? Do your heads this way. Do you remember that? Okay. That's what Passover celebrates. Now, the context here is the people, the parents, are all going to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. Now, along with all the great throngs of pilgrims who were making this journey, along with Mary and Joseph and their friends, the backdrop of Passover celebration included a lot of trappings, okay? You had the entrepreneurs that were out there, they were selling stuff. You had merchants selling all kinds of wares, and then you had those who were offering lodging to travelers. So there would have been a lot of commotion, a lot of people in the streets, a lot of hustle and bustle, a lot of things to see and do. You know, you had the sights, the sounds, the colors, the smells, the taste that would have filled the air and all those who were present, and it was quite an exciting time. It was a lot more exciting than village life in Nazareth, okay? So, I mean, it was something special. It was something really kind of a sensory overload. We used the illustration in the 9 o'clock service, kind of like taking someone out of a Western rural city and dropping them in the middle of New York City. I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on, and there was no doubt a lot of young people present. Children as well as teenagers. Now, Jesus was very human. He was fully God, fully man. He was very human. He was a 12-year-old boy, and no doubt he wanted to experience these things as well. He was probably an outgoing kind of guy. We read from Scripture he had a good sense of humor, very gregarious. People liked to be around him. He was probably in the streets talking with friends, just enjoying this whole experience. So you can imagine that he wanted to meet other people. He wanted to explore all these things that were going on, perhaps checking in with mom and dad from time to time. You know, he was allowed to venture away as long as they kind of knew his general whereabouts. That was due to his age. He was 12 years old. At age 13, he became a part of the religious community proper. He was almost a man, according to their culture. So at age 12, he was given some latitude. All right, he was given some latitude. He would not be expected to be with his parents all the time. You know, in addition to that, you had the trip to and from Jerusalem, and it was customary for the women and the children to kind of be in the front of the crowd, and then you had the men in the back. That was for protection, or so they said. It might have been a little man talk going on back there too. We don't know, but the men were in the back, the women and the children were in the front. Now, given his age, he probably could have gone either way. maybe talking with the men for a little while, then going up and seeing what mom and the other children were doing. I mean, so it's quite reasonable that it could be assumed by either parent that he was with the other one at any given time. Given the social norms, given their pattern, it was quite understandable. And it was in this delicate balance, this dance of freedom and security, that Jesus turns up missing. Now, parents, has it ever happened to you? Have you ever temporarily lost your child? You've been in a crowd, maybe in the grocery store or a ball game or something out where there's a lot of people, and all of a sudden you turn and your child is not there. It feels like your heart drops down here somewhere. It is a terrifying feeling. We know that feeling. My wife and I know that feeling. Poor Ashton, I have to tell this on her. But when she was a little squirt, she was about this high. We were at Busch Gardens. And we were in the children's area, which only had one way in and one way out. And we had pretty well wrapped up, or so we thought, our activities in this area. And Sandra let go of her hand for a split second to pick up something, turn back around, and Ash is gone. She's gone. Those of you who remember her in her younger years around the church, you do not see that as surprising. But she was gone, and because it was only one way in, I immediately bolted for that entrance, knowing that, you know, just had to be there in case she tried to leave or somebody tried to leave with her. And I screamed at Carson, "Go find your sister." And so he took off. Sandra goes the other way. And it was only 2 or 3 minutes before I saw him waving at me again. Ashton had been over it, splashing in where the water shoots up through the sidewalk. She was over just merrily, you know, playing in the water. And we found her. But for those 2 or 3 minutes, it was terror. Talk about an adrenaline rush. It was absolute terror. And every time I see these Amber Alerts or I get an alert on my phone that gives an Amber Alert, now, even though it's not my child, my heart aches for the parents of the child that's missing. I can't imagine what Mary and Joseph were going through. And I would fully suspect that the human response was the same in their day as it is now, even though their community was probably a lot safer than ours, truth be told. The Bible tells us that they found him after the third day. I went through about 3 minutes. They went through at least 3 days, and I say at least for just a moment, I'll explain that. It's really not absolutely clear whether the scenario includes the days of travel to get back to Jerusalem. If so, then Joseph and Mary kind of first looked. Scripture tells us they looked among, talked among the family and extended friends. Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen where he went? You know, they'd already traveled a day's distance from Jerusalem, so it took them a day to get back to Jerusalem. Most likely the third day was spent looking for their son. However, the biblical account as it's here, the language is such that it could be saying that it took 3 days from the time that they arrived back in Jerusalem. Can you imagine that? 3 days looking for it. But whether it was a day or whether it was 3 days, can you imagine their anxiety? We've lost the Son of God. What, are you kidding me? And now Mary and Joseph, they know. They know and they knew that their son was unique. They understood that God had given him to them for a very special purpose. But that did not prevent them from fearing for his safety. He's 12 years old. They didn't know when this unique mission would actually start to take effect and make itself known. They didn't have a playlist of how it was going to all work itself out. So it was a terribly anxious time. And I got to, as I read it, it doesn't give a lot of detail. I wonder where they went looking. I mean, it says they asked among their family and friends, but then they went back to Jerusalem. Where did they go in Jerusalem looking for him? I would suspect that they probably checked the marketplace, you know, where all the excitement was, thinking, well, maybe he stayed with some of his buddies. They probably looked in the shops there, the merchants, maybe the homes of friends and acquaintances that they had in Jerusalem, maybe where they had spent the night. You know, and after agonizing hours had passed, they finally looked in the right place. They found him in the temple. And they were amazed, astonished, whatever word you want to put in there. Relieved is probably the word I would have put in. They were amazed. And upon questioning him, they no doubt they were relieved and they were upset, but yet they were so relieved the upset didn't matter at that point. But they were even more amazed at Jesus' response to them. He reminded them, Mom, Dad, here's my life's mission. And by the way, this is the logical place that I would be. Well, of course. Every 12-year-old boy wants to hang in the temple, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. Of course that's where he was. You know, their parents are going, really? Wow. You know, and it seemed to Mary and Joseph, you know, as they're looking around, they're looking many other places before they tried the temple. And Jesus is saying to them, it should have been the first place. Mary and Joseph had temporarily lost something that was very precious to them. And I read in this story a powerful analogy when we connect it to our own lives. Think about it. When we lose something in our life, something that's important to us, whether it's love or wealth or happiness or beauty or security or peace of mind, anytime we lose those things, we can be tempted to search in all the wrong places, just like the bad country song said, okay? We look in all the wrong places. Many people, though, look for their salvation in those wrong places. Have you thought about that? They look for their salvation in the wrong places. Some look to the marketplace, the commotion, the bright lights, the sparkly tambourines. They look at all of this stuff. They look at the world of things and money and possessions. The market actually advertises itself as a place where you can purchase anything that will make you happy and perfect. If you don't believe me, look at the Amazon box. Have you ever noticed that on the Amazon box? What is that? That's a smile. The implication being, if you buy this, you will be happy. Yeah, you'll be happy. You'll never look at the Amazon box the same way again, will you? That's the first thing you'll see from now on. But the idea is just buy this toothpaste, and you'll get the perfect smile. Or buy these clothes that will attract the man or the woman of your dreams. Or live here for absolutely the best life you can imagine. Furthermore, people pay these exorbitant fees for cosmetic surgeries, making them look younger. The implication being that youth makes you more happy, yeah. More happy. So just as Mary and Joseph may have looked in homes to find what they were looking for, sometimes we do the same thing too. It's not just in the marketplace. It's even in homes. And sometimes we are so disillusioned in our own home that we start looking in other people's homes, wanting what they have in their homes. And I'm not just talking about furniture. Sometimes we want somebody else's wife or we want somebody else's husband because we think that'll fix what's wrong with our marriage. And Solomon warned against this folly in Proverbs chapter 5, verses 15 to 23, and I invite you to read that when you go home. We won't take the time to do it now, but Solomon says, uh-uh, it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. It's not always that you need something else. Sometimes it's a condition of the heart. Yeah, you do need something else, but it's not something physical. It's the presence of God. And Jesus' response to his parents is the same response that he gives us today for those who are looking for Christ's presence today. In essence, he says, it's not difficult to find. He says, I'm in the temple of your heart. For those who have already invited Christ into your life, we sometimes forget that Christ is close by. He's right here. He walks with us daily. He's constantly here. His presence is always with us. And we have to remember the words of 1 John 4:4 and claim them as truth for ourselves. When it says, for the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You say, why is that so important? Well, it's because the world would like to take and can take away our peace, our sense of stability, if we allow it to happen. And we can respond without looking in the right places for sustenance and spiritual renewal. We can, but when life tosses us around and we lose sight of the happiness and joy, we have to remember Jesus' words. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, I have said this to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you face persecution. But take courage. I have conquered the world. Jesus is saying, no matter what your fears, no matter what your challenge, no matter what your anxiety, I have already conquered it. Now claim it. I've conquered it, you claim it, because I live within you. So as we look at the new year, and the Mayan calendar scare is behind us now, whatever new challenges we may face, whatever new doubts, whatever may face us, whatever new fears that we may have both now and in the future, know that Christ is ever present. God is with us. His presence is with us in the temple of our soul. We need not go looking because we know he's there. He's not lost. He's right where he belongs. And he's there to give us the resources of wisdom and hope and peace and joy, unconditional love, grace, mercy, and power for living. Praise God. Let's thank him. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we praise you for who you are. And we thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for the incredible stories that you've given us in your word to teach us. To teach us about the life of your son here on earth, but also to teach us about what our lives should be like here on earth. Help us to learn by example. Help us to learn through your teaching so that we can be more and more like your son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. I invite you today, if you do not know this Savior, if you do not have Jesus ever present in your life, this is the day to get that settled. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. I invite you to come speak with me. I'll be glad to share with you how you can pray to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you'd rather not do it this morning, call me this week. I'll be glad to talk with you, meet you wherever you would like to, and we'll talk about it and get that squared away. If you're here this morning, you say, Raymond, I am a believer. I'm just not living like it. For some reason, I'm just not feeling that power within my life. I'll be glad to pray with you. You can certainly settle that where you are, speak with God where you are, and open your heart to him where you are. But I'll be glad to speak with you if you'd like to. If you're here and you would like to be a part of this church by formal membership, there's a lot of ways we receive members. I'd be glad to talk with you about that. But whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. following the benediction, I'll ask you to be seated for the response. But then after the response, again, greet one another as we go from this place. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the chance to be together, to worship together, to see one another and to talk with one another and gain strength for our spirit through the fellowship of common believers. God, we pray as we go from this place that you would strengthen us and empower us and let us feel your presence in our lives as we seek to live out the gospel message so others will be pointed to you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.